Hello and welcome to KnitWorks, a series of talks powered by Rural Knit Youth Network, covering the challenges of rural knits, young people not in employment, education or training, living in the countryside. Rural Knit Youth Network is a European-led multidisciplinary network with the goal of understanding how rural knit social inclusion can be supported. Our network upholds future research capability, especially among young, talented researchers aiming at the creation of a rural youth online observatory. With these initiatives, we hope to foster knowledge use by policymakers and practitioners. To learn more about our project, please visit rnyobservatory.eu-web. In 2020, about 2 million young people aged between 15 and 29 years old were KNITs. 40% of them had lower educational levels and only 11% were graduates. In 2019, 33% of the Italian KNITs were concentrated in southern Italy, followed by central Italy with 18.5% and northern Italy with 14.1%. These figures reflect long and complex transitions from school to work in the country. Why is that the proportion of new generations in the overall population is decreasing, while the social costs associated with them, such as higher employment rates or civic and social disengagement, are increasing? What are the factors explaining the high levels of family dependence among young Italians? And why do KNITs share disparities between the north and the south of Italy are so big? This and much more on this first episode of KnitWorks.
Hello and welcome to our first episode of KnitWorks, the podcast series of the Rural Knit Youth Network. I'm Francisco Simões and I'm the chair of this cost action.
Today with us we have Valentina Cusocrea. She is an associate professor of the University of Cagliari. She is a sociologist of youth and she has been studying youth in Italy and across Europe. She has been interested in topics such as mobility, young people's futures, and young people's vulnerabilities and how they are represented in social and public discourses. So welcome, Valentina. Thank you for being with us.
Hello. Thanks a lot for inviting me. It's a pleasure to discuss with you today.
Our honor. So let's start by analyzing a bit the situation of young people in Italy regarding the school-to-work transition. As you know, Italy is always mentioned because of the high numbers of KNITs. With the pandemic, what are the main trends going on in the country regarding this transition between school to work in Italy?
Well, the situation of young people in Italy has been difficult, if not dramatic, depending on the areas for a long time now. And I have to say that the attention towards Italian youth has somehow increases since the heat of the economic crisis in 2008, because some colleagues have realized that actually whilst it was starting to be a problem for them, well, had already been a problem for a long time in Italy. I would say the attention had increased since then. So even before the pandemic, of course, the pandemic has worsened everything. And I would probably say that the main reason for that is that traditionally the education system in Italy he's quite, let's say, disembedded from the production and from the labor market. So there have been several policies in the last 10 years or so that has tried to address this problem, but in turn they have problem as well. So I would say that Italy is a perfect laboratory to look at some of the mechanisms that hit young people the most, especially in trying to enter the labor market.
So you mentioned this kind of parallel construction between education and labor market. But something else that pops up from your research is this reflection on the role of families in Italy. So there seems to be a clash between families and institutional support in the transition to adulthood. So Can you elaborate a bit more on this? So what is exactly the role of families, and how does this kind of prevent an easy entrance in the labor market, or an easier one, please?
On the one hand, we often say that families are the Italian welfare because they are always there. And in fact, the Italian welfare isn't necessarily there every time that is needed. So it certainly has a positive role. And for so many Italian people, in Italy, the fact that they have, for instance, accommodation available depends on the fact that there was accommodation available from their grandparents. But not only that, not only like strictly speaking economic resources, a lot of services are kind of run in between and across generations. There is an exchange about that. But we also know that, so that is kind of positive, but we also know that first, this is very asymmetric and it's not what we should aim towards. In fact, you either have a family that can support you or you don't, or maybe you have something in between that, and that is not really something we should aspire. But also there is another way in which we can look at this mechanism, and that goes more strictly under the name of feminism, which, as you probably know, is not a positive term. It comes from amoral feminism, a term that was coined to say that families really make their own interests without being concerned to the others. So in one way, this goes towards the direction that maybe, you know, families can also be suffocating to their grown-up children. And that is not helping them in tackling the challenges of the transition, whatever transition that is, whether it is from school to the labor market, from university to the labor market, or more generally in private matters.
And that's probably one of the main reasons why this transition is so long in Italy, right? We see people going across this transition to the labor market until their 30s. That's a kind of a big trend there in Italy, right?
Yeah, that might even go up to the 40s.
So you're young until you're 40s in Italy. That's wonderful.
You are forever young in Italy if you want to. If you want to. Yeah, of course, that is methodologically a very big issue because we have difficulties in comparing situation then across countries. And I can mention something a little bit more technical. So for instance, the Youth Guarantee is a program that has been launched by the European Commission, the European Union, and then has been implemented throughout all countries in the European Union. But originally, that was, I mean, not originally, for the funding body was meant to address young people under the age of 25. And conceptually, really interesting to know that, in fact, in Italy, automatically, all the measures gravitating around the youth guarantees are addressed to young people under the age of 29. That means that it is considered that the kind of problem you might have in approaching the labor market at 23 or 24 are more or less the same that you might have at 27, which is quite a serious thing that we have here in Italy. But the same mechanism that is addressing people under the age of 29 is also valid in other countries. I think Spain. That's high have in mind at the moment. Maybe Portugal, I don't know.
Portugal is the same. Yes, we have a policy for under 29. So
but that is really telling, right? Because that gives you an idea of how long these difficulties actually last.
Yeah, and that's very common. That's spreading across. That's spread across southern countries, as you know. So, yeah, in that sense, Italy is not alone. But in any case, it seems that there are also plenty of imbalances between the north and the south of Italy regarding young people's labor market inclusion. So can you elaborate a bit more on that? What are the main disparities between the north and the southern regions of Italy?
Yeah, I mean that is really a traditional issue. A traditional issue. We've always had these kind of different countries within the country. Well, first of all, gender disparities. Young people, female participate less in the labor market, significantly less in the labor market in the South. Second thing is that, of course, since the northern region are still richer than the southern regions, still there are more. There is more availability of jobs. Which means that if you're young and you want to test yourself in the labor market, you have more opportunities around you, you have more choices. What has happened in the meantime is that the kind of job quality, to use a technical term, has worsened even in the north, and that means that maybe it's still easier to find a job, but jobs are less satisfactory and pay less. And this has brought about mechanisms such as, you know, daughters and sons of families who had previously migrated from the south to the north have had to migrate themselves when they've grown up. So people of my age, maybe they moved when they were children with their parents from the south to the north. And then once they graduated and once they finished school, they found out that, you know, that paradise was not a paradise anymore for them. And then in order to find something fulfilling for them, it was maybe easier to look at abroad to put this in place. So in one way, probably there is more disillusion now in the north because of that. And in another way, those of us who are used to the southern conditions, I mean, we are less kind of disillusioned because we were already disillusioned enough some years ago. If you see what I mean.
But does this mean that there are youth mobility trends still going on from the south to the north of Italy? Can you still see this kind of wave of young people going from the south to the north? Or this has been...
Yes, there still is some, especially in terms of mobility related to the university. Okay. So typically some graduates from the south that decide to attend university in some big universities of the north. So that is still happening. But then after 3 years or 4 years, when they conclude the studies, then they have another difficulties that they don't... sometimes they don't find a job, sometimes they do find a job, but it's really poorly satisfactory, poorly paid. So that doesn't close the cycle of migration, if you see what I mean.
Well, taking into consideration these asymmetries between the north and the south, I would like to know a bit more about how policies are addressing the school to work transitions in Italy. So even if in a very general way, what have been the main measures in Italy, and how effective have they been to address these problems in school to work transition from young people?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a lot of policies in the last 10 years or so, some of them conceptually really revolutionary in a way. So for instance, citizens' income is conceptually new in the national arena, because by tradition in Italy, you could ask for unemployment support if you had been in employment before, if you were looking for a job, maybe your first job. So conceptually, that has been really interesting. And then there has been different variations of this according to the different government, five stars government or Renzi government. But I would say that compared to the conceptual novelty of this, there has not been a sufficient power in this measure to really be effective, because then the criteria to access them are really difficult. So it's mostly they are there, but we can't access them. And also the other big branch of measures that have been devoted to shorten the distance between education and participation to the labor market. Mm-hmm. Again, it could have been very good ideas for Italy, but this attempt to kind of import the dual system that is more characteristic of other countries, for instance, those countries where German is spoken. That
yes, are Germany, kind of, Netherlands, you know, yeah.
Yeah, where this is exactly what makes the fortune of the system are not so easy to be reached. If the bases are so different, I would say that if the production system, if employers do not engage more in welcoming new workers on the one side, and if education system, including university, is still so resistant to teach students that, you know, there are some practical skills that are as important as conceptual notions. As long as those two things are not completely resolved, we will always have difficulties in making those interesting measures work to a full capacity.
Well, of course, right now we're always thinking about how the pandemic has made an impact in policies and main social domains. So I would like to know, how has the pandemic changed the needs of young people in Italy, especially the needs regarding entering the labor market? What has come out from the pandemic there in Italy for young people?
Okay, of course, the situation has generally worsened, and there could be a lot of aspects that make this situation worse. Something that I've reflected a lot during the last years is the possibility of moving for these young people as something that really might open their options. Mm-hmm. So possibility of geographic mobility that might come through structured programs or might come through, you know, personal initiatives for those who are stronger than others. Mm-hmm. And of course, the fact that everything got stuck at some point must have been really traumatic for those young people who were looking for something else, something to proceed further, that was somewhere else. So I have in mind an interview we've done with a young person in a vocational school here in Sardinia, a bit before the pandemic hit it. And he was really, really looking forward to do something different somewhere else, that was in Berlin in his case. And reflecting upon what has happened after, and the fact that probably he was never able to do this, is really painful, even for us, for us researchers. And in fact, what I would reflect more among the possibilities that now get open, because apparently and hopefully the pandemic is reaching an ending point, is to reconsider new possibilities of mobilities for these young people. And I really strongly want to say, for all young people, not only those who are more privileged, not only those who are maybe at university and can afford maybe to wait a couple of years, but also for those who are in more vocational paths that are usually more bounded to a territory, because possibly it is for them that a period of mobility really makes the difference in terms of growing up generally, not only as a worker, not only in the awareness of what they can do to in taking a public role, like, you know, participating to the labor market, but also more generally to conceive themselves as fully adult citizens, as long as their counterparts.
Well, that brings us to a discussion, a short discussion on the future. So when you think about policy measures to kind of ease this transition between school to work for Italian young people, can you identify two or three priorities to address the current challenges?
Mm-hmm. So I would say one of these could be the all of mobility programs, which are now they've never been stopped like as programs, but of course they've stopped working. So in practice they've stopped, but they have remained in place. So I would say that one of the biggest challenge now would be to rethink of them in terms of reconsidering mobility again as an opportunity to open and to broaden the horizons of young people in practice, and also as a imagination, which is quite important, I would say. But considering that maybe the kind of mobility we were used at has to, you know, to be rethought in terms of. We all had to stop, and it might happen again, or maybe there will be again more limitations. So we have to rethink at how or continue the mission of these kind of programs without getting stuck every time there is a practical problem. So this would be one that it comes firstly in my head, because in my mind, because probably because I've studied this the most, but also, you know, other programs like it's basically now it has a different name in Italy, but everybody knows it as a school to work alternance. So the possibility of students to make some visits, to make some practical things outside of their school premises when they are still at school. Again,
first vocational experiences, right?
Yeah, which is something traditional within a vocational path, but not traditional at all, quite new for Lyceum and for other schools which are more generally oriented.
Yes.
I would put my $10, as you say, on rethinking of them in terms of really evaluating the possibility that there is a genuine encounter with the worlds out there of the teaching premises, and I would pay attention to the fact that it is at that age that young people become accustomed to think of themselves as someone who can contribute to society, not only, you know, because they can ask welfare contributes, but also because they can contribute in a kind of a positive and participative way. So I would rethink those measures, and I would make them really more central in terms of contributing possibly to an overall education. Like, it's called Bildung in German. We use that word to say that young people, you know, are aimed to construct themselves as a full citizen, not only as worker. The things goes in parallel.
Well, Valentina, thank you for offering us a very good overview of the situation of young people in Italy. And it was a real pleasure to have you with us in our podcast series. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks to you.
So this ends our very first edition of Neatworks. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast using your favorite platform, and be sure to join us for the next episode. See you soon. This podcast is based upon work from Cost Action Rural Need Youth Network, supported by COST, European Cooperation in Science and Technology. COST is a funding agency for research and innovation networks. Our actions help connect research initiatives across Europe and enable scientists to grow their ideas by sharing them with their peers. This boosts their research, career, and innovation. Visit www.cost.eu.